You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
So John 14, have you ever found yourself in a place where you think you don't belong? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you think this is above my ability level or my pay grade or my... And you're in a point of influence. Imagine yourself being... I was interested. We love Thailand. We're going to Thailand. We have a lot of compassion projects in Thailand. The new king of Thailand inherited something like $63 billion worth of property. It makes him one of the richest men on the planet. $63 billion. Let me check. I think it's more than I've got on me. I'm just coming thinking, imagine if I was included into the royal court of Thailand. Now, I've got no chance. That's just fanciful. But imagine if as the king, the new king of Thailand, met with his counselors and perhaps the people who are closest to him and his family and said, hey, Jeff, would you come into this place and I want you to tell us what we should do with all this property. Can you imagine that? Jeff, come and give us some wisdom or insight. Or what do you think about what we should do here? You know, it's not for sale. You know, it's not like they're about to divvy it out. It's royal property throughout the Thailand. But just imagine, and you might have been in contexts like that in your work environment where they say, hey, you know, John, come and tell us what you think. And they include you into the decision-making process, and you think, oh, I don't think I belong here. I'm just me. And we say that, don't we? I'm just fill in the blanks. What we're going to discover this morning is that Jesus includes us in his world. And we always think it's the other way around. But that's why this passage is so phenomenal. And in John 14, it's the start of probably the most three significant chapters in John's gospel, 14, 15, 16, 17, 4, sorry, which describes what Jesus was telling his friends just before he died. Significant. John 14, 7. Let's go into it. He's talking to a friend called Philip. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Let's pause for a second. Jesus is clearly saying here, if you know me, then you know the Father. If you want to know what God the Father is like, what's the best illustration we could ever give? The person of Jesus. Now, Philip was lucky enough to hang out with him in person as he walked the streets. But you and I also are lucky enough to be able to have a relationship with Jesus. And if you understand Jesus, then you understand the Father. Why are we looking at Luke's gospel? That's wild. Do you want to get to know the creator of the universe? You know, little kids say, well, what is God like? What would he be like? What would he look like? You know, what color hair would he have? Well, I'm telling you, the clearest picture of who the Father is Jesus. And that's why he says that. Yeah, don't. I'll get into that. Hang on. So that's why he says, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Did you see that? Look at that. Jesus is saying, I am in the Father. Not just like the Father, I am part of the Father. And the Father is in me. How much closer can you get? Then he says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. The things that Jesus does is not because he thinks it's a great idea, but because God in him is directing him. Go and talk to that person. Hey, go and heal that person. Deliver that demon. Everything Jesus does is because he's directed to by his Father. Awesome. So he has this inner guide, this inner counsel as he walks along, as does life, that directs him so that whatever he does, he's doing not of his own initiative, but because he sees the Father doing it and therefore joins it. He says, then believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, you see the shift? He was just talking about the Father and Jesus. Now there's a shift. He's saying, what about you as well? I am including you in this. Now we're getting crazy. Not only is Jesus and the Father one and united, Jesus is actually saying here that I'm including you into that relationship. Remember the king of Thailand? Including some little person in that relationship. This is starting to get pretty crazy. You've got to hang on to this. We're going to go for a journey today. And he says, I say to you, verse 12, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow, whatever you ask in my name. Because God and the Father, Jesus and the Father are one. So he's calling us into that and saying, actually, you can have an opinion. Actually, you can ask for things on this world. I'll get into that in a minute. If you love me, you love me. Verse 15, you will keep my commandments and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Oh no, here's someone else coming. We're confused yet? Jesus and the Father is one. He's inviting us into that relationship. And now he's introducing somebody else, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. If you love me, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Anyone really confused yet? Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying he will actually live in you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. He's talking about his death. Because I live, you will live also. Here's the key verse in 20. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Who's really lost it? Isn't this wild? You have been included in the relationship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right there. We call that the Trinity. It's a funny term, the Trinity. But the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three complete, separate entities, persons, yet completely one. There is no earthly analogy that makes sense. People talk about water, steam, and ice, and water, liquid. It doesn't compare. You cannot get your head around the Trinity. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so united that they are one, but they are three. But now, what is he saying? Who was also in that relationship? Verse 20. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wow. What day? It's that day. Who's he talking to? Talking to his disciples. He says, when I leave, I'm going to send somebody else, Spirit of Truth. When did the Spirit of Truth come? Pentecost, about 50 days after this was written, or spoken. Pentecost. That happened. The Holy Spirit turns up, start of Acts 2, pretty wild times. But that's the time that he's talking about, in that day, which means that day has passed, so we now live in that era. I know I've just taken him, probably really confused you. But just hang on to this thought. You have been invited, you have been included in the counsel of God. You have been lifted up into heaven. You think that's wild? Am I pushing the edge a little bit today? Let's look at Ephesians 2, 4. This is Paul, different author, same Bible. But God, Ephesians 2, 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised. Past tense. Done. The writer of Hebrews talks about us having confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. The implications of this are wild, that you and I have been invited into the fellowship, not of the rings, but of the Trinity. You have been invited up. You have been included into the counsel of God. That can change everything. It really can. You're not alone. You're not just trying to nut it out on your own. You're not just trying to read your Bible. Who's this God? You're not just trying to be a religious person. No. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God and raised up with him, included in him. That's what that means. The people who got that in the scriptures just went for it. Paul got it. He understood it. Changed his world. Peter got it. John gets it. What about us? Let's run through a few things. Why is it important to be included? What does that mean? It's a picture of unity. And it's a picture of unity. We talk about unity in our world as kind of liking the same thing. You know, so perhaps you can have something in common with your friends in the workplace. You know, we've got unity over the football team we follow. The Eels, Ron. Apparently, they're about to win the whole thing. First time since 1986. So Ron and I could have unity over the Eels. But there's serious disunity about it happening, Michelle. Or the car you drive or the interests you have. You know, you have that kind of unity, you know, or you've got a family, they've got a family, let's get together. No. This is way, way deeper. He's talking about unity being one. The closest picture we have actually is a married couple. That's unity. Literally, the Bible says the two become one flesh. That's the unity. But it doesn't go anywhere near even the unity of this. It's a beautiful picture. Hang on a sec, Di. I'm going to get there in a sec. And I'll come back. You see, so the unity is included. The husband and wife have such an intimate relationship together that they are essentially one. And the scriptures talk about, therefore, we care for the other person above our own self. So what does this mean? How can we be included? How can we make sure that we are reaching the fullness of this? Not just waiting on the edges of this, but how could we be included and know that on a daily basis? I'm not going to preach for very long. I'm going to leave some room to experience this. That's the exciting thing. This is beyond an intellectual understanding. This is something that you and I will encounter today and can encounter every day of our life. So quickly, four things. How do you get included? How do you get included into the Trinity, the inner governance of the universe? How do you get included into that? Well, first thing, there's four things, right? One is to know. This is, I'm just going back into John's verse 14, so chapter 14, 7. It is to know. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. That's what it is. You have to know Jesus. The first step to being included, wrapped up in heaven, in the Trinity, is to know Jesus. That means to be born again. It means to come to a knowledge of him. It means to have asked him to come into your world and to take over your world. It means to give your life to Christ. There's lots of ways that we picture that, but the Bible actually says to know. The Greek word means intimate fellowship with. It's the original language. To know, and the best way to do that is to come, confess things that you've done wrong, and say, Jesus, will you take me in, and I'm going to live for you for the rest of my days. It's really that simple. It's to know Jesus. Anyone can do that because it's not dependent on how good we are or bad we are. It's a matter of knowing. First thing you got to do is to know. The second thing is to receive the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Receiving the Holy Spirit helps you to connect the dots. The Holy Spirit is Jesus on earth now. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. Job done. Well, almost. He's praying for us, it says. He's done his bit. Sent his friend the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm being a little facetious. But he has the whole power of the universe in his hands. That's why we're doing a portrait of Jesus. No, receive the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's guiding. His wisdom is in you. He can guide you into all truth. You get to a situation, you don't know what to do. Just pray. It says here, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to give you the power to live the life that he's called you to live. He's going to give you the wisdom to know which way to go. How awesome. You have an inner guide, an inner counselor inside of you who is connected and part of the rulership of the world. And you thought you were just a little Christian. Just little me and little Bathurst, wherever you come from. This is crazy. You are part of this incredible thing. The third thing, the way to be included in God, so to know Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. This one's fun, is to ask, why? Why in the middle of that passage? Seems random. Jesus says, well, just ask whatever you want. I pondered that for a while. What's the deal here? Why is that important? Because it says in verse 10, do you not believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Jesus has modeled for us how to do that, to ask, to include God into his world. So Jesus is showing us how to do that, saying, this is how you do it. You follow God in your world. And therefore, as you come across things, you simply pray and ask. Whatever you ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. But the my name bit is in my will. If you ask me anything that I am into, I'll do it. So I want to be prime minister so I can get very rich and crush all my enemies in Jesus' name. Well, it's actually not. I want to be so rich that I can just drive any car that I like and not depend on anyone else in Jesus' name. You know, clearly, we're going to be praying things that God is into. I'm going to pray for my neighbor. I know that God loves my neighbor, so I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to be generous. I need more money so I can be generous to people. Look into that. I need more influence so that I can increase and help people to come to know Jesus. See, so we pray those things, but whatever, he says, whatever you ask in my name, in the will of the Father, that will he do. Get on the front line. James says you don't have because you don't ask. When you ask, you start to fight for things. You see, I reckon too many Christians are on the back line, like down here, well, swamped by life. Life just comes and goes and it happens and I don't know how to kind of rise up above that. I can't see you. But I'm crushed. But if I could say, no, I don't want to be like this. No, I need a marriage that works. No, I need some finances that work. No. So you see, suddenly you're on the front foot. You're asking for God. You're not swamped by life and you're stepping out. That's why he says ask, because then you start to see the power of God at work in your life. You just sit down and let life take you. It'll take you. Jesus says, come up, ask, do battle, do business with God. Let's see what he can do. Pray for your family. Pray for your finances, the things that aren't right in your world, the things that you look around and you go, hey, I wish that wasn't like that. Well, ask. Make a stand. Get angry. You know, get a bit excited. Let's not be passive Christians who let the world wash over us. Ask for ministry gifts. I wish I could do more of that. I wish I could heal people. Jesus did again and again and again. Let's not put up with having less than what we can have. Let's fight for it. Ask. He says, come on. That's why he's saying it. We're not asking for anything that God the Father is not into. But it's the power to live the life that we know we can live and make a difference in this world. Pray for people's salvation. So many people around us just have no idea of life. No idea. And who's responsible? We're not responsible. But my neighbor needs to know Christ. I don't know how to reach them, but I can ask. I don't know how to get on with someone, but I can ask. So ask. That's why he says ask. You know Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. Ask in my name and then love. Verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know what I love about the commandments of Jesus? Is they're really simple. There's only two. Love God. Love others. I could do that. I'm not going to do it perfectly. I'm going to get it wrong and trip over and whatever, but I can do that. And if I can love others, love my neighbors, love myself, and I can love God and honor him and put him first in my life, that's what I was talking about. That's really simple. Don't beat yourself up. Do I love God enough? Well, just go and bless somebody. Go and do something for them, love them. But that's, see, the core of love is right in the middle of it because that's what qualifies things that ask. It's really simple. Know, receive, ask, love. And you will be included into this amazing thing called the Trinity.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.